Morning. Today's Daf Mamsia is Dalit. Thank Loop and Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is Learn Lezecha Nishmat Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. We are on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, picking up where we left off yesterday. The Sugyas really starts on Gimel Amud Aleph with a statement, a Brisa of Rabbi Chia. The Brisa of Rabbi Chia discusses a scenario in which it is similar to Modeh B'Mitzvah, not exactly. Modeh B'Mitzvah says we know one of the three times in the Torah where the Torah imposes a person to make a shvua. You make a claim against me that I owe you 100. I counterclaim by saying I don't owe you 100, but I do owe you 50. So now I am making a partial admission to your claim. So the Torah says under such circumstances that I have to make a shvua min haTorah. In order, I will obviously pay you the 50 that I admit to, but then the other 50 that I deny, so I'm going to make a shvua, and that shvua will exempt me from having to pay the additional 50. Yesterday we learned a psychological explanation, an understanding of the human rationalization in terms of why the Torah imposes such a shvua. This explanation was given to us by Rabbah. Rabbah says that the reason why the Torah imposes a shvua under such circumstances is because fundamentally he is a good guy. In other words, on one hand, he's not going to deny everything because there's no way a person would deny the entire claim, not against the person who lent you the money. That would be chutzpah to the nth degree, and a person wouldn't do that. And on the other hand, however, of course he wants to admit everything, but he doesn't admit everything because he simply doesn't have it right now. So he'll give a little bit now, deny the other part, and eventually when he has time, he'll pay off the balance of the loan. That's his thought process, to which the Torah basically saying to him, okay, I understand, you know, it's fair that you want more time, but at the same time, you have to admit the whole thing now. So that's the psychology behind the shvua of Modeh B'Mitzvah, as explained by Rabbah. Rabbi Chia, yeah, I'm saying, go.
I don't know why you can use the psyche as I'll pay you half now, then later I'll pay you. Why does the Torah assume when you have to deny the other half?
Right. Well, in other words, but if you agree with the full amount that you know, if you agree with the full amount, so then you should admit it right now. By virtue of the fact that you're not agreeing to it right now, there's something preventing you from admitting to the whole thing right now. Okay.
So if he admits all of them, then he can lose.
If he admits all of it right now, so then the Beis Din is going to take your land, take property. Okay. Anyway, so that's the shvua of Modeh B'Mitzvah. Rabbi Chia says, okay, and that's a chiyuv of Modeh B'Mitzvah, so shvua, and Rabbi Chia says, and I'll give you another case as well. And the case of Rabbi Chia was basically the same, but with one notable difference. A claim is made against me that I owe 100, and I deny the whole thing. Okay, so far it's not Modeh B'Mitzvah. But then what happens is that he brings in a pair of witnesses, and the pair of witnesses say that I, in fact, do owe part of the claim. So he's claiming 100. I deny everything. He brings in witnesses that I owe 50. So Rabbi Chia says this is also going to be a case of Modeh B'Mitzvah. Now, obviously, it's Modeh B'Mitzvah missing one important element. There's no Hadah. I'm not admitting to anything. But there is, obviously, with the two witnesses, I am going to be paying part of the claim. I am going to be owing part of the claim. The two witnesses are extracting money out of me. And since I owe part of the claim, Rabbi Chia says, so we're going to use the same platform of Modeh B'Mitzvah to require me to make a shua on the other part that I'm still denying. Okay.
Why does he have to do that? If the witnesses are saying only half, it's done.
Yeah, but you can't ignore the claim.
But the witnesses are saying only half.
Good, and that's so. For the witnesses, I'm going to have to.
By witnesses, there's only one. But
again, I'll go back to what I said a moment ago. You can't ignore the claim. There's still a claim, and the claim has power. A claim has legitimacy. A claim obviously does not have enough legitimacy where he's going to take money away from me because of a claim. But now he has a claim, and now there are witnesses, and so I have to respond to the claim. So Rabbi Chia says, okay, response to the claim comes in the form of a shvua. Normally, your response to the claim has to be nothing. In other words. But not because we're totally dismissing the claim, just the claim does not have enough support, where I don't have to give any kind of official response. Here, the claim is bolstered now by the witnesses. Now, granted, the witnesses are not supporting me 100%, but they're supporting me 50%, and I'm saying that on top of that, you owe more. Okay? So just make a shvua. This is the brisa of Rabbi Chia.
Anytime the claim is higher than the witnesses, the other side has to make a shvua.
Correct.
Every time it claims higher than what the witnesses say.
Agree. That's a chiddush. It's a chiddush of Rabbi Chia. Absolutely. So the and the Gemara says now now how Rabbi Chiya arrived at this conclusion is because of a Kal V'chomer. Meaning, and the Kal V'chomer basically works like this. If your own admission is going to be Mechayv Yehoshua, you don't think two witnesses is going to be Mechayv Yehoshua? Meaning, under all circumstances, and we're going to challenge that in just a second, but under all circumstances, witnesses are stronger than your own admission. So if your own admission is going to obligate you a Shavua, so for sure two witnesses are going to obligate you a Shavua as well. This is a Kal V'chomer, and as we pointed out yesterday, I need the Kal V'chomer because without the Kal V'chomer, I'll go back to Rabbah's point that the whole rationalization of Modim B'Mixus is based on you just trying to stall for time. In the case of witnesses, you can't employ this kind of argument. Witnesses say that you're part of the claim. You're obviously not trying to buy time. You denied everything. So if it was Rabbah's explanation of why Modim B'Mixus is employed, so we would limit it to the case of your own admission. We would not include Rabbi Chiya's case as well. Rabbi Chiya understands that. And Rabbi Chiya says that's why I have a Kal V'chomer. And what we did yesterday, we started yesterday, and we're going to have to finish off today, is what exactly is a Kal V'chomer? We're saying that your own admission is going to be... Let me say it again. Let's start that again. Two witnesses are always going to be better than your own admission. And that's where the Gemara is trying to struggle and understand. Is that always true? And where we ended off with yesterday is, it's not. It's not always true. And we'll just finish off with the last point that we made yesterday. Gemara says, consider, when there are two witnesses against you, so they're subject to contradiction, hachasha. They're subject to hazama. When you testify, when you make an admission, no one's going to contradict your own admission. No, you're certainly not open, exposed to hazama. So you can't really say that the witnesses are stronger than you. Under certain circumstances, you're stronger than the witnesses. This is where we ended off yesterday. And we're going to continue in the Gemara, Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Amud, Ella. Asya Me'idecha. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to make a Kal V'chomer, but we're going to make it from not your own admission, but we're going to make it from Me'idecha. We're going to use one witness. And the Gemara says, and consider. Now, when it comes to one witness, one witness cannot be mechayv you money, but it can be mechayv you shvua. As we've said time and again, we said it yesterday, we'll say it again today. When one witness testifies against you that you owe somebody money, so that's not, he's not two witnesses, obviously, but he will be valid enough, it's enough testimony so that you're going to have to defend yourself, and you're going to have to defend yourself in the form of a shvua. But that's it, though. In other words, he cannot be mechayv you money, only a shvua. Eidim shemechayv no samam, and eidim shemechayv no shvua. So now, here comes the argument. The argument is, if one witness can be mechayv you shvua, and they can't be mechayv you money, two witnesses that can be mechayv you mamon for sure should be able to be mechayv you a shvua. What seems to be a very good argument, the Gemara says it is, but upon further review, it's not that good. Mala eid achad shekein amashu hu meid hu nishba. Gemara says it's really not a good comparison, because consider, when a person brings up against me one witness to testify that I owe money, so what's my shvua going on? It's a denial on what the witness is saying. Meaning, I'm swearing that whatever the witness is saying is not true. So my shvua is combating the testimony of the one witness. But the Gemara says, but let's consider. Now let's talk about two witnesses. Now again, the case of two witnesses is where the Tohen says, I owe him 100, and he brings in witnesses that say that I owe 50. So the 50 now I have to pay because it's a pair of witnesses. So the witnesses say, I owe 50. And now, where am I now standing on the shvua side? Where I'm standing on the shvua side is that whatever he is, whatever the witness is now saying, I can't rebuff that. I have nothing to say against that. The only thing now I'm swearing about is the portion of the loan that the witnesses did not address. So here, really, the shvua is totally different. The shvua is not going against the edim. The shvua is going on the unspoken part of the loan. So really, when we're comparing the Shvu of Eidecha and the Shvu of Shnei Edim, it's really not the same. Shvu of Eidecha is going against exactly what he is claiming against me. The Shvu of two witnesses is going against the portion that's not being addressed. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. We're on the top now of Dalam and Aleph. Tomer be'edim sha'amah she'kafer hu nishba, as opposed to when it comes to a pair of witnesses, I'm not testifying against the witnesses. I'm testifying against the portion that I'm denying, which is left unspoken by the witnesses. So Elamar Papa Asamegogo Shvodei Dachan. So the Gemara says, okay. So maybe the argument will go like this. The argument will be a Gilgal Shvua based on the testimony of one witness. Now, Gilgal Shvua, we've discussed a number of times. We recently is back at Sota, where really is the source of Gilgal Shvua. The idea is as follows. If the Torah imposes upon me a Shvua, it would allow an opportunity for the claimant to say, well, as long as you're making a Shvua on that, so I want you to make Shvua about other things as well. This is the principle of Gilgal Shvua. We learn it from Sota. Because in the Parsha in Sota, she, the Sota, responds Amen not once but twice. And the Gemara extracts from there that that second Amen is to other Shvuas that are rolled upon her. The word Gilgal means rolled. So over here now, I have Eid Echad. Now Eid Echad also requires me to make a Shvua from the Torah. So now once I have Eid Echad, so now you can be Megalgal, you can roll other Shvuas upon me. So this is Gilgal Shvua me Eid Echad. So here, one Shvua is going to cause another Shvua. So you can have derivative Shvuas coming as a result of this principle of Gilgal Shvua. So Tamar Be'edim, Demamon Kamechaivo. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Okay, that's very good. Meaning, I understand how Eid Echad can result in multiple Shvuas. But again, when we're talking about Edim, so the Gemara says, it is my Shvua is really not a function of the two witnesses. The two witnesses are just simply saying, I own part of the money. Fine, I owe part of the money. And now, why am I making a Shvua? I'm making a Shvua on the portion that I am not agreeing to. Mm-hmm. But that has nothing to do with the Edus. The Edus is just simply limiting my obligation. The claim, however, was 100. The witnesses say 50. I'm going to pay 50 because the witnesses say so. On the other 50, I'm making a Shvua. But that other 50 is not a direct result. Indirectly, obviously, it's a result of the witnesses. But it's not a direct result of the witnesses. That's not true when it comes to Gilgal Shvua Eid Echad. Gilgal Shvua Eid Echad, my second Shvua is a direct result of the first Shvua that was imposed upon me. So the Gemara says, once again, it's not a good comparison. So the Gemara finally concedes. The Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to go down a new path. So the Gemara says, we're going to go back to your own admission. Meaning, again, we're going to go back to what we tried earlier and said that based on the fact that you made an admission, so and you're going to make a Shavua in that circumstance, so by Edim you're also going to make a Shavua as well. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, but we're going to go back to what we said yesterday. Yeah, but your mouth is stronger than two Edim. Two Edim can be contradicted. No one can contradict your own admission. So the Kal V'chomer is not good, like we said yesterday. So the Gemara says, Eid Echad Yochich, Sheyeshna Ba'achasha, Umechayv HaShvua. So the Gemara says, okay, but, so what we'll do is into this Kal V'chomer, we're going to actually balance two ideas. One idea is your own admission, and couple that with Eid Echad. In the case of Eid Echad, where I have one witness testifying against me, so I'm going to make a Shvua. And that one Eid Echad is subject to Achasha. One could contradict the one witness. So the Gemara says, "Mala Eid Echad shekein amasha al shemeid hu nishba." Tomer be'edim she'amasha kafar hu nishba. And again, the Gemara says, "Remember what we said: the comparison of one Eid to two Eidim is not a good comparison. When I'm making a Shvua against one Eid, I'm making a Shvua against what he is claiming I owe. When I'm making a Shvua with two Eidim, my Shvua is not going on the Eidus; my Shvua is going on the portion that is." Not being referenced by the Edim. So the Gemara says, Piv Yochiach. The Gemara says, okay, but we'll just jump back to your own admission. Meaning, basically, we're going to use the common denominator of your own admission and Eid Echad in order to make this Kal V'chomer. So, admittedly now, it gets complicated. Because now we're not making Kal V'chomer from one variable, we're making a Kal V'chomer from two variables, and we're just looking at the common denominator of the two variables. And the Gemara uses this methodology often, and the Gemara then goes on to report. Now, obviously, Piv, your admission, and Eid Echad are not the same, and there are flaws in each one of them in terms of using each one independently as a Kal V'chomer, but if you look at the common denominator between the two, consider that it's coming as a result of a claim against you and a denial, so v'nishba, and yet you're going to have to make a shvua. In the case of your own admission, so that's the classic case of Mod Demimitzas. A claim against was made against you for 100. You are now denying. You're going to be making a Shvua. In the case of Eid Echad, a witness says that you owe money. You are denying, and you're going to have to make a Shvua. So in this regard, denial, Shvua. common denominator between the two cases. So the Gemara says, now that we're here, so when it comes to two Edim, same story. Same story where two Edim say, I owe part of the loan. So now I'm obviously going to have to pay part of the loan. On the other part, I'm denying, and therefore Shavuot is going to come with it. So the Gemara says, that is going to be our Kav HaChomer. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider. If I make an admission on my own, or if I have one witness and I'm denying the one witness, I'm not a kofer. Meaning, that does not make me a liar. I am right now in a position where, all right, to use the cliche here in America, innocent until proven guilty, but really it's true. Meaning, in the case of admission, he says I owe 100, I say I owe 50. I'm not a liar on the other 50, or at least I'm not a presumed liar on the other 50 at this point in time. Same thing true with Eid Echad. He brings in a witness that says I owe the money. I'm saying no, I don't. Period. I'm not a presumed liar at this point in time, but let's consider. He says I owe 100. I say I owe 0. And then he brings witnesses that said that I owe 50. At this point in time now, I am a liar. Meaning at least on the 50 that the witnesses say that I owe, so I'm a liar, is what the Gemara describes as huchza kafran. Meaning I am trying to rebuff two witnesses, but I can't. The two witnesses are in fact going to be mechayv me the money. So now I'm a liar. So the Gemara says, so really when you think about it now, it really isn't a fair comparison. In your own admission and one witness, the reason why you're going to make a shvua, you're allowed to make a shvua, is because you still have a presumption of telling the truth. In the case of Shnei Edim, you have lost your presumption. You shouldn't be able to testify. The Gemara says, Uve Edim Yechuzer Kafran, the Gemara says, well, is even that part true? The Gemara says, remember what we learned, we did this back in Babakama, V'Amar of Edi Bar'Avin, Amar of Chista, Kofar Be'Milva, Kashal Edis. Let's say someone says that you owe money, and you full denial. Does that disqualify you for Edis? No, it does not. It does not disqualify you for Edis. Rashi goes on to explain why. Why should that be that cannot qualify for Edus? See the Rashi Kofar Bemilva. Bain al Kula, Bain al Mixasa, Uva Edna Veidu al Shalonishba. And then witnesses come and they testify that you in fact owe the money, so you are still kashal edus. Rashi writes, "V'lomar meaning gazlan huva torah amra tashes rasha aid," meaning even though you denied a claim, and even though you were proven to be a liar, you are not going to be disqualified for edus. And the reason why Rashi goes on to explain, "The kevin de milva lautzah nena domatzarch lahotzia." Why did you borrow the money? We all know why you borrow the money. You borrow the money because you need the money to spend. So every time you borrow money, it's understood. Money is spent. Now, the emo din, I'm reading Rashi. The emo din lehashta yitzben miyat. Now, if I make an admission right now, so he's going to take me to court and they're going to start seizing my property. Ava kofer bibikadon, however, contrast that with somebody who denies an object. I was asked to hold an object. Fine. He asked me for it back. I say, I don't know what you're talking about. There, your denial will result in disqualification. And Rashi goes on to explain. You see, by a pikadon, I'm not spending the pikadon. The pikadon is supposed to be sitting in my house. And Vishema Tomar Avamiman Vishema Adam Ishach Echlay. And then Rashi says, well, you know, he could be stolen, he could be buying time. He lost it, and he's just trying to buy time in order to recover it. I know that feeling. So the Gemara says, well, later in the Gemara, we're going to say that in the case of Pikadon, we're speaking specifically about a case where the witnesses are testifying that they saw the item in your house, and there really is no good reason why you lied. So the Gemara says that even in the case of Edim, Edim say that you owe money, you are not considered a presumed liar. And it's evident by the fact that, the Gemara quotes in the Emir of Chista, you are still Kashal Edus, even though you denied owing money. So the Gemara says, let's go back to the Gemara. I'm just going to quickly reread the statement of Rav Chista. Am Rav Chista, kofer b'melva kashal edus, b'bikan apostol edus. So the Gemara says, now that we've had to have the statement, so we're really, we are now at the point in the Gemara where the Kav HaChomer still stands. A complicated Kav HaChomer, but it still stands. Meaning we're using the common denominator of Hodas Piv, a Yon admission, plus Eid Echad, in both of those cases, a denial and a Shvua. In the case of two Edim, a denial and a Shvua. Even though the two witnesses Not even though. Let me start the sentence again. Because the two witnesses are now testifying that you are part of the claim, you're now going to have to make a shvua on the other part that you are still denying.
How is it that somebody who denies the money and is still a kosher bedui is also lying?
Right, but we have a way of justifying and rationalizing as lying. In other words, he shouldn't lie, he shouldn't be telling the truth. But in other words, to be disqualified to testify, you have to be a Russia. You have to be a patently bad.
That he lied, but then his credit's gone.
Right. In other words, his credit's gone. But in other words, in terms of calling, right. But in terms of calling him a Goslin, labeling him a Goslin, so the Gemara says, at least we can come to some explanation of. You know, we understand why he did that. Your point's well taken. But he's not going to be given the label of Russia just because he's trying to buy time. So, Ela Parich Hachi, Malat Sada Shavu Shemem Shekinen B'Tor Sazama. Tomer Beidim Sheishna B'Tor Sazama. But then the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? I could still upset the entire Kavah Chomer. Because let's consider. When two witnesses testify against you, because they're two witnesses now, they are subject to a possible Hazama claim. Two other witnesses come and say they were with us at the time. So what do you do with the original two witnesses? So you do to them what they conspired to do to the defendant. However, in the case of one witness, in the case of Yon and Mishin, there is no possibility of Hazama. Obviously, by your own admission, there's clearly no Hazama opportunity. In other words, you're saying you owe the money. What are the two witnesses going to say? Well, no, you were with us at the time. In other words, it's not even Eidos. There's not even a possibility of Hazama. And even one witness is not subject to Hazama. Because when one witness testifies, he's not trying to extract money out of you. So when you think about the Pasuk of Asisalo Kasher Zamam Asos Lachiv, he's not conspiring to extract money out of you. All he can do is just simply get you to make a shvua. So there is no Hazama for one witness. So the Gemara says, so there really is a fundamental difference between two witnesses versus one witness and even your own admission. One witness and your own admission, no Hazama opportunity. Two witnesses, Hazama opportunity. So the Gemara says, Halo Kasher Rabbi Chiya, Torah Hazama Lo Par. So the Gemara simply says, Rabbi Chiya is not bothered by this question. Okay. What does that mean? So Rashi explains what that means is that for Rabbi Chiya, this doesn't really pose a difficulty because, let's say by one witness, let's say two other witnesses come forward and say, you know that one witness is not telling the truth because he manu ayisim amakum plani because he was with us at the time. Okay, is that Hazama? So Rashi says, an explanation of the Gemara's point, yeah, kind of. Meaning, it's not Hazama in the formal sense where this one witness is not going to be paying money, but is the one witness discredited? For sure. It's just that he won't be paying the knas of Vasi Saloka Sher Zamam Lasal Sachiv. But can we call it Hazama? Yeah, we can still call it Hazama. So the Gemara says, Ela Dekama, fine. Period. After the half of Amud, finally, we got our head somewhat wrapped around the Kavah Chomer that the Gemara presents in defense of Rabbi Chiya. So now again, we go back and let's just review what we are saying since the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Chiya says that if a claimant is made against me that I owe $100, and the claimant then brings two witnesses, and the two witnesses testify that of that 100, they for sure know about the 50, this is going to be an example where I'm going to have to make a shuwa on the balance. Now, this is not classically modem and mixas. Modem and mixas is when I make the admission, the partial admission. But Rabbi Chiya says, under these circumstances, you're going to be making a shuwa, and as far as why, kavachomer. The reason why is because we're never going to say that your own admission should be any worse than two witnesses. Or to say it the other way around, two witnesses are certainly going to be stronger than your own admission. And we have a Kavah Chomer. And what is a Kavah Chomer? It took the Gemara an Amud and a half to finally articulate the Kavah Chomer. And basically, if I could try to summarize, the Kavah Chomer is built on a platform of the common denominator of your own admission and Eid Echad. Your own admission and Eid Echad, there's going to be a Shvua. And so even though individually they're not comparable to two Eidim, but if I take the common denominator of the two, and I'm going to be making a Shvua, so that by two Eidim, I'm going to be making a Shvua as well. Yes.
Why can't you say two Eidim stronger than one person? The odds more because it's 2-1.
You for sure can say that. But that's in terms of extraction of money. We're not talking about extraction of money. We're talking about your requirement to make a shvua on top of that. That's the trick in this entire Gemara. Ella de kamar v'tana tuna midami. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that we have amplified and clarified the kavachomer of Rabbi Chiya, let's move on now to the next point of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says, and I want you to know that this halacha is correct. Look back at our Mishnah. Now, so let's look back at our Mishnah. So 2.5 da'apim ago, we started about Metziah, and the Mishnah said that I'm holding on to the talis, you're holding on to the same talis, we're going to divide it, and we're going to divide it with a shvuah. Now, how does this serve as a good source for Rabbi Chiya? So as we explained yesterday, because when I have a holding on the talis, that holding is tantamount, it's equivalent to two witnesses. Okay, obviously it's not the same, but it's what the Gemara's language was, is that it's an anan sahade. It's as if we are testifying that what I'm holding on to is mine. So, what am I holding on to? Part of the garment. It's equivalent to two witnesses saying that I should be getting part of the garment. And now what does the Mishnah say? The other litigant now needs to make a shvuah. This is, if you looked at it from that particular standpoint, that's what Rabbi Chiya is saying. That when you have two witnesses saying that you owe, in fact, part of the claim, you're going to have to be having to make a shvuah on the other. So the Gemara says, okay, but upon further review, it's really not that compelling an argument. V'tana tuna, midami, the Gemara says, it's not really comparable. Because, consider, Rabbi Chiya's case is talking about the following. The Tohen is making a claim against me that I owe 100. I have no evidence other than just simply my own denial. And not only that, but then the same Tohen now brings up two witnesses. Okay, so it's his claim and it's two witnesses and I got nothing other than my own denial. Fine, that's Rabbi Chiya. Our Mishnah is not that simple. Our Mishnah is where he's holding, which is equivalent to two witnesses, but you know what? I'm also holding. So I also have very strong support. My holding of the garment also is equivalent to two witnesses. So it's really not comparable, and the Gemara makes it exactly this point. The Gemara says, "Velamidi di havo leisa hadi lalove de la masik le velamidi lo by Rabbi Chilish tabue." Consider that in a scenario where, in the case of the loan, where he says I owe 100, and he has witnesses that says I owe 50, and I bring in witnesses, and my witnesses say, "No, I don't. I don't know 50. So now the two witnesses cancel each other out, and obviously I'm not going to have to make a shvuah because his witnesses are now lost. The hacha ki echad anatzahadeh b'hai. In our Mishnah, this is exactly the case where even though, yes, I'm holding on to it, and holding on to it is equivalent to witnesses, but he's also holding on to it. And him holding on to it is equivalent to witnesses as well. And so therefore the two witnesses basically cancel each other out. So now that you have no witnesses, our Mishnah no longer serves as a support for Rabbi Chiya. So the Gemara says, and this is such a strong argument against Rabbi Chiya. It's not against Rabbi Chiya. It's just that our Mishnah is not supportive of Rabbi Chiya because the Mishnah's case is different than Rabbi Chiya's case. So the Gemara says, fine. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our Mishnah and we're going to apply it to another statement that was made by Rabbi Chiya. And this didn't disprove Rabbi Chiya's first statement. It just simply is not supporting Rabbi Chiya's first statement. But we're going to use our Mishnah to support another statement of Rabbi Chiya, and it goes like this. And now we get on to our next big discussion in the beginning of Bava Metzia, and it goes like this. Person makes a claim against me that I owe 100. I say, no, I don't owe you 100, I only owe 50. This now looks like a classic case of modem mixas. But here's what I do. Before we go to court, before anything else, I reach into my pocket, I take 50 and I hand it to him. Hey, look, here it is. Uh-huh. Okay, now go away. Now, can I legitimately now say go away? So, as we're going to see in the Gemara right now, subject to a machlokas. Rabbi Chiya's position is chayev. I'm still liable to have to make a shvuah. This still falls under the category of modem mixas. My time up. Heilach nami kemodem mixas itana dami. Because Rabbi Chiya says, what difference does it make whether when I admit to part of it now I get into my pocket and I satisfy that right away? Okay, that's very good of me. It's very responsible of me. But there still is a towing and a nitan. A claim and a counterclaim. The claim is I owe 100. The counterclaim is no, I only owe you 50. The fact that I now have just paid it off, how should that affect the requirement of a shvuah, because when all said and done, distilled, it's still modeh b'mitzvah.
Why isn't this equivalent to modeh b'mitzvah?
That's Rabbi Chiya's exact point. It is modeh b'mitzvah, okay. And therefore I have to make a shvuah. And now v'tana tuna, and now on this halacha, Rabbi Chiya, now we'll go to our Mishnah and we'll look at our Mishnah as being a support for this. Because what does the Mishnah say? Shtayim ochzim metalas v'ha'acha kevin t'tafis anetzahad demay t'tafis helachu. So the Gemara says, now consider our Mishnah, where we are disputing a talus. I am holding. Now what the other litigant cannot do is say, well, the part that you're holding is the holding is not really yours. He's going to have to admit that the part that you're holding is going to be yours. It is tantamount to Halech. Meaning, fine. The part that you're holding, I'm not going to dispute. That part belongs to you. Fine, you can have that part. But on the rest of it, however, I owe. So this Mishnah that we're learning, our first Mishnah, is very much tantamount to the case of Halech. Viktani Yishava. And our Mishnah says that a Shvuah is in fact required. Okay. So now we have a second teaching of Rabbi Chiya. And on the second teaching of Rabbi Chiya, we have a Mishnah that seems supportive of that. Now, Rav Sheshet Amar Halech Pater. Now Rav Sheshet says that Halech is going to be Pater. Now my time. Now first an understanding of Rav Sheshet. Why should that be? So Gemara goes to explain. Kevin Damarle Halech Hanizuzah Dekamod Begavayu Keman Denakale Milva Dami. I'm sorry, Mava Dami. Beina Chamishim Halomode. Hilkach Leka Hodas Bemixas Itana. So the Gemara says in explanation of Rav Sheshet, look, it goes like this. The claim against me is I owe 100. I say, no, I don't. I owe you 50, and here is the 50 right here, right now. Okay. Basically now, we have taken the 50, the portion of the 50, and we put that claim to rest. Basically what it does is it now resets the claim. Resets the claim where, now, I know we're not articulating this, but basically now, what is the claim made against me? 50. What am I saying about the 50? Zero. So it's no longer modeh b'mitzvah. Basically, by me paying the 50, it redefines what the claim is. And that's not exactly what the Gemara says, but it's a great way to think about it. It's the way it's presented to me time and again when I was sitting in shir back in the day.
So
and
it's a call for the new claim.
It's a call for a call in the new claim. Okay. It resets the claim.
But that isn't every modeh b'mitzvah.
No, modeh b'mitzvah.
With money, you could.
Yeah, right. He take. In other words, according to Rav Sheshet, if I just paid him right away, so then yeah. So then we would basically do away with every modeh b'mitzvah. The case of modeh b'mitzvah will materialize where we're just back and forth, bouncing back and forth, 150, 150, let's go to court. And then once we're in court, then the court's going to make me make a shvuah. So, but yes, in other words, if I pay that 50 right away, so then there will be no shvuah. So I'm going to read the Gemara one more time. So once I give it to you, it's as if the Malva now is holding on to it. Be'ina chamishin, as far as the other 50 are concerned, ha lomode. I'm just simply denying it. So in other words, it basically turns into a case of kofar bakol. Hilkach leka odas b'mitzvah satana. So therefore, I'm no longer admitting to part of the claim. So ula Rav Sheshet, kashim esnifsim. So the Gemara says, okay, great. Now what is Rav Sheshet going to do in terms of our Mishnah's concern? The Gemara says, amalacha Rav Sheshet, masnifsim takanas chachamim hi. Leave our Mishnah out of this entire discussion. Like we said yesterday in the name of Rav Yochanan, like we're saying again right now, the Shvuah of our Mishnah has nothing to do with modeh b'mitzvah. The Shvuah in our Mishnah is simply a function of, we don't want people to be anarchists, start grabbing things that don't belong to them, and you know, and we'll go to court and we'll divide it because he's holding and I'm holding. No, stop it. And the way we're going to stop it is by having people have to make a Shvuah every single time. And it will... It will be an impediment to have people grabbing other people's things. That's what we learned yesterday. That's what we're saying right now. So our Mishnah Shvuah is not a modem and mix of Shvuah. Our Mishnah Shvuah is just a Takanat Chachamim. V'idach in Takanat Chachamim. I'm sorry, V'idach in Takanat Chachamim. Now what Rabbi Chiya will say back to Rav Sheshet is, I'm not disputing you. You're right. The Mishnah Shvuah is Takanas Chachamim. However, Miu, Iyamar Bishlama Midaraisa Helechayav, Mitakni Rabban Shvuah, Ke'ein Daraisa. But Rabbi Chiya says to Rav Sheshet, but we know time and again, when the Chachamim legislate, they pattern themselves after concepts that work on the Torah level. So let's think about it. If in a scenario of Helech, there is a Shvuah requirement, at least our Mishnah, I'm giving it to you, our Mishnah is the Rabban Shvuah. But without the starting point of Halach being Chayav, the Chachamim would not legislate a Shvuah that is that would be dissimilar to the Torah. So the starting point has to be where you owe me 100. Fine, I don't owe you 100. I owe you 15. Here it is right now. Halach, here it is. So if the starting point is there's a shvu in that case, our Mishnah, which is similar, it's not the same, but at least I understand the Chachamim legislating a shvua because it patterns itself after a shvua daraisa. But for you, Rav Sheshes, please consider. You are of the starting point that in Halach you're not chayiv. So if you're not chayiv in a Halach scenario, our Mishnah, which is similar to a Halach scenario, so the Chachamim are going to legislate shvua when they don't have a shvua of the Torah to pattern themselves after. So Ella Iyamar bin Daraisa Elch Pater Mitakne Rabbanan Shvua De Leisa De Kavasei B'Daraisa. This is Rabbi Chiya's point to Rav Sheshes. The Chachamim wouldn't do that. Make a shvua that has no platform in the Torah. So Meitz Vei, the Gemara now challenges based on the following Braisa. We are now on the top of Dalamud Beis. Salayin Dinarim. So let's say the contract was written, but the author of the contract really was not specific. All the contract says is that you owe me monies. Coins. Doesn't say how many. Now, generally speaking, we all know the rule that if there's a plural, so we're always going to take the conservative minimalist approach of it's going to be two. We will not assume any more than two. So silayim dinarim. So malva omer chamesh. So now the malva says to the lova, okay, he takes it in court. I want my money back. And even though it is an undefined amount, but we know it's more than one, so the malva says it's five. You owe me five coins. The lova omer shalosh, and the lova says, nope, not five, three. I owe you three. So under these circumstances, is this mode to mimix us? That's a machlokus. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Hova Hoda mimix us Atani Yishava. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, sure, it's mode to mimix us. He says five, I say three, we're good. Meaning, we're good, meaning, this is mode to mimix us. Rabbi Kiva Omer Eino Ela Kameshiv Aveda Upater. Rabbi Kiva says, nope, this is like returning a lost item, and you're going to be pater for making a shvua. We learned together back in Gittin, in the fifth parak, that one of the takanas that the rabbis made is that if I return a lost item back to its original owner, right, and I give him back his wallet, and he says, thank you so much, I'm so appreciative, and then it becomes awkward, where he opens up the wallet, and he knows he had 100 in there, and he knows he had 250s in there, and now he only sees 150. So he looks at you at the finder and says, I'm so appreciative, but at the same time, I know I had 250s in there. And now there's only 150. So we go to court and can you make a shvua on the second 50? Which I think you took. And so if this were to happen, this would be the last time this person would ever return a lost item. Right? Thank you, but no thank you. Right, every time I'm going to return a lost item, I face the potential of going to court and having to make a shvua. I will never do this again. The Chachamim understood that, and the Chachamim therefore gave a waiver, an exemption, to anyone who returns a lost item. Under no circumstances are you going to have to make a shvua.
Immunity.
That's a better word. Thank you. So you are fine. So now that's stated, so Rabbi Kiva says this is similar to that case because it's an undisclosed amount. All we know is that it says coins. And the Lova was kind enough to say three. You're not going to take him to court. You're not going to say, it's not going to make a shvua mode to mimix us. What you're going to say is thank you, even though you think it's five. But this is similar. This is tantamount to the case of Hashavas Aveda. So, Eno Ela Kamesh of Aveda Upater.
There's a difference. The founder of a lost object, first of all, has a mitzvah to return a lost object.
Right.
And number two,
right.
He doesn't have any kind of personal obligation.
Right. So Rabbi Kiva is not saying this is Meshav Aveda, it's Kim Meshav Aveda. Okay? And understand, this is not a case of Hashava, but...
And also the borrower has a personal relation and personal obligation to the lender.
Right.
So in
okay.
a way, he can't just... Like,
okay, yes, agreed. This is not as straightforward as a case of Hashava Aveda. I can clearly tell you that. There's a machlokas on the matter. But... Here's where the Gemara wants to now go with this point. Ketani mi'ed Rav Shimon Elazar Omer Hova Hoda B'mixas Ketani Yishava. So let's focus our attention on Rav Shimon Elazar. He says it's the case of Hoda B'mixas. Now, time and Damer Shalosh. The Gemara says, now let's just play around with the numbers a little bit. They're very specific about the numbers that were given. 5 and 3. Let's think for a moment, instead of the numbers being 5 and 3, let's say the counterclaim was 2. What would have happened if the counterclaim was 2? Oh, you know what would have happened? Hashtag putter. If the counterclaim were 2, we would not have to make a shvua. Why? Because it's really simple. Because if the counterclaim was 2, that's exactly what the document says. meaning the document says dinarim, so we know in the very least two coins were lent. We know that based on the document. Now, a document has a lien. A document is strong. It's solid. So a document is basically the same thing as halach. You're going to get your money based on a document. So if the number were two, so you wouldn't have to make a shvuah. Again, that is our proposed, that's our proposed inference from the Braisa. If this is true, we have now an excellent support for Rav Sheshes. When in fact, halach is, when you say here's the money, then you're not going to have to, then we basically reset the claim. If the counterclaim in this particular case was, no, I don't owe you five, I owe you two, that's exactly what the document's saying. And a document is tantamount to halach, and you're not going to have to make a shvuah. Va'ishtar dekamodi behelachu, ushma mina halach pater. Okay, so this would be a very strong support for Rav Shesh. So the Gemara says, lo. La'olam em l'chashtayim chayiv. So the Gemara says, no. Truth be told is that even if the counterclaim were two, you'd still be chayiv, it'd still be motive b'mitzvah, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. V'haydik tani shosh la'afukim ed Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, now, the reason why the numbers 5 and 3 were used in the Braisa is because we want to amplify the position Rabbi Kiva. Da'amar meshev avedi, yave pater kamash blan, demotive b'mitzvah, sitar nahave, v'chayiv. So the Gemara says that it's because the counterclaim was three where we're now going to compare to a Shavuos Aveda. But if the counterclaim were two, that's where Rabbi Kiva says, that's my limit. Once the counterclaim becomes two, so then I'm telling you that it's not a case of Modi B'Mixas because your claim is no better than the document itself. You're not presenting anything extra. And so therefore, you're going to, it would be a case of Modi B'Mixas. Ihachi Rav Shimon Elazar Amar, Hol V'Hodi B'Mixas Eitan Yishava, Af ze yishava mi ba'ilei. So the Gemara then is just simply bothered by the verbiage. What does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar say? He says, since. Really, if the way we're proposing it right now is that 3 and 2 is going to be chayv modeh b'mikzas, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar should not say the word hoel. Really, the word that he should use is af zu, even this case. So, el olam shayim pater, vehele chayv. So the Gemara says, okay, so really, I'll tell you this. If he would have said two, it'd be pater, it would not be a case of modem and mixas. And I'll still differentiate between the case of a document and the case of halach. So the Gemara says, and it's different because in the case of shtar, you already have the document. Meaning the document is already a pre-existing testimony that this loan existed. Once you're saying two, you're not saying anything new. It's not even a claim. It's all you're doing is just corroborating what we all know. The document says you owe two. As opposed to the case of Halech, where your counterclaim is in fact a counterclaim. So the Gemara says, Inami Mishum Davle Shtar Shiba Karkos, Venishman Lakfir Shiba Karkos. And the Gemara also says, and I'd like to point out, that really, what is a document? Meaning, what is a document going to allow the lender to do? Go and take property. Do we make a shvuah on property? No. Meaning as just a basic Torah exclusion, there is no shvuah on property. And since the document is tantamount to property, the shibud created by the document is going on the property, so therefore there's not going to be a shvuah. Okay, ita mosim misefa. Now basically what we're going to do is we're going to go over the same basic exchange, but the starting point is going to go on Rabbi Kiva, not on Rav Shimon ben Elazar, so we're going to do this round two. And Rabbi Kiva amar eino ela kemeshev avedu pater. Rabbi Kiva says, in the case of where the claim is five, the counterclaim is three, Rabbi Kiva says, we're going to call this Hashavas Aveda. And therefore, no shvuah required. Time and damar shalosh hashtayim chayiv. And so again, that numbers five and three are very specific because had the counterclaim been two, so then Rabbi Akiva would say that you would be chayiv. V'ashtar dekamodi bekehelach dami. Now, isn't shtar tantamount to helach? And shema mina helach chayiv. And now we have a support for Rabbi Chia. Right? It's the same. It's the same Braisa, but the starting point of this discussion now is that we see from Rabbi Kiva that Rabbi Chia is right. That when the counterclaim is two, and it now is a match to the document, a match to the document is tantamount to Halach. So the Gemara says, lo, la'olam em l'chashtayim nami pato. The Gemara says, no. Really, truth of the matter is that two would be pato as well. V'haydik tani shlosh, la'fukim edu Rav Shimon ben Elazar damar, mod b'mikzas et tana havei v'chayev. Kamash walan d'meshev avedi havei u'pato. And the reason why the numbers 5 and 3 were used is because Rabbi Kiva wanted to disagree with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, this is a case of mod b'mikzas, and Rabbi Kiva to that says, no, it's not. Because since you're saying three, which is above what the document is declaring. The document is declaring two, and you're saying three, it's tantamount to Hashavas Aveda. Hachinami Mesabra, the Gemara says, and we're right. Meaning, the reason why the numbers three and five were chosen were not for the purpose of Rabbi Kiva, but for the purpose of Shimon ben Elazar. Tisa gadach ha-shtayim chai b'shal sheichet patole Rabbi Kiva. Hai eru mikama arim. Savar ia min ha-shtayim b'ina ishtabue. Ema shal shtahave kemeshev aveda v'i pater. So the Gemara says, and let's consider, because if the numbers 3 and 5 were chosen for Rabbi Kiva, so then, if there's a difference for Rabbi Kiva for the between 2 and 3, so then every person, every time a person comes into court, now I don't know how often this is going to happen, but every time a person comes into court, where if I say 2, I have to make a shvua. If I say 3, I'm exempt. For me, worth it. Worth it to just add one more so that it'll exempt myself from a shvua. So the Gemara says, Ela shmaminashtayim nami pater. So the Gemara says, for Rabbi Kiva, it must be that there's no difference between 2 and 3. In both cases, you are going to be exempt. And for Rabbi Shimon, and the reasons why the numbers 3 and 5 were chosen were from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Ela kashla Rabbi Chia. So the Gemara says, so now if this is true, this is difficult now for Rabbi Chia, because according to Rabbi Chia, Halach, you will be chayav. In the case that we just learned regarding the shtar saying dinarim, and the claim being 5 and the counterclaim being 3. So, and had the counterclaim been 2, you would be pater. So the Braisa seems to be running against Rabbi Chia. So again, the Gemara is going to make the same distinctions we just made. Shani hasam to come as sayele shtara. Again, if you say 2, that's not a counterclaim. You're just corroborating what we already know from the document. The document says 2 as well. Inami, Misha. Or the Gemara says, again, going back to the point we made previously, and that is that really what the shtar is just reflecting is property, and you don't make a shvua on property. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the finish line of this thread. So where do we stand right now in terms of the daf? What we learned today is the first halacha of Rabbi Chia, that not only modem and mixas is going to require shvua when you make a partial admission, but if the towing brings in witnesses saying that you owe part of it, you're also going to need to make a shvua. This position of Rabbi Chia was seemingly supported by our Mishnah, but the Gemara says our Mishnah is not a really good platform for this case, because our Mishnah has support from both ends. Both are holding on to the talus. So Rabbi Chia's halacha may in fact stand, but certainly does not have our Mishnah to support it. And then a good part of today's daf was just an explanation of the Kal v'chomer that Rabbi Chia used in order to arrive at this conclusion that two witnesses can be no weaker than that of your own admission. The second halacha that we discussed and debated today is the case of Halach, where I admit to part of a claim and then I immediately satisfy that part that I admit to, what we call Halach. Do we then have to make a, is it still considered a shvua, do I still have to make a shvua of modem b'mikzas? Rabbi Chia says yes, Rav Sheshet says no, and the explanation of Rav Sheshet is that once you satisfy that claim, it basically resets the claim. The claim now is set at 50, the counterclaim is I own none of the 50, and so under those circumstances, it's a kofar bakol, and therefore I don't have to make a shvua. And what we try to do is use our Mishnah to try to prove either Rabbi Chia or Rav Sheshet. We then use the Braisa, describing a debate regarding a contract that says coins. He says 5, I say 3. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Akiva argue whether this is a moda b'mixas or a more similar to Hashavas Aveda. What if I would have said 2 instead of 3? And that also seems to present arguments both in favor of Rabbi Chia and in favor of Sheshet, but the Gemara ultimately says they're different. The cases are different.